The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Kennedy. Hugh Hewitt. I'm in getaway mode, heading off to Minneapolis, St. Paul, after today's show to moderate a debate among would-be Republican gubernatorial nominees tonight in the suburbs of the Twin Cities. Hope I see you there. It's sold out. You can't get tickets anymore. AM 1280, though, will be broadcasting it live, and Alpha Networks will be carrying it live throughout Minnesota. And so I'm hoping you will be tuning in. Have microphone, will travel to do debates. I think I'm headed to Arizona next. I would love to go to Colorado, but they no longer, Brian just hates me in Colorado, the general manager, so I won't be in Colorado doing that. In any event, America, I want to tell you that inflation, open the lines, Ben, 1-800-520-1234. The number one story in the world is Omicron. Now, the good news, remember my four square box. Every virus variant is either more or less transmissible than Delta, and it's either deadlier or less deadly than Delta. It turns out Omicron is far more transmissible. That doggone thing is moving fast. And a lot of people are getting it in America. Half the Browns have got it. Like eight Browns went on the COVID list. They should not play that game, by the way. They should cancel the NFL games where teams cannot play because that's not the product we're paying season ticket prices for. That's a product where three members of your offensive line are out and the Browns. Baker Mayfield could get killed, and he should sue the league if that's the case. I mean, I love backups for one play or two play. And the Browns have the best offensive line coordinator in the world, Bill Callahan. And Stefanski is unflappable. He'll put together a plan. But, I mean, eight players because of COVID. So it's going everywhere. The Browns are looking around and saying, did you guys not get your booster shot? You know, you got to get your booster shot. They're playing in the season. They're 95% vaccinated. They're not scofflaws like, I don't know what Kyrie Irving ever did it. But let me try that one. I don't know what Kyrie Irving ever ended up doing. How's that? But it doesn't matter. This virus is going to break out. People are going to get it. I'm flying on an airplane today. I'll have a mask on. If I get it, I'll be fine because I've had two vaccines and a booster, and I'll be out for 2 days. That's really what it's not a problem. It's the original deal. It's a bad deal if you're not vaccinated. I mean, it's a very rolling with the dice. Run out and get your vaccination quickly if you're not, because it's going to be a punishing wave, according to the CDC, come January. Now, I know none of you believe the CDC, and I have problems. You know, I went online yesterday to find out for my daughter. How long after a child has COVID can they be vaccinated? You can't find that anywhere. It's a question millions of Americans are asking. How long? Because my grandkids have all had COVID. And they were fine, by the way. They just got COVID. But they don't want to have it a second time because then they get quarantined a second time and they lose another completely nutty amount of school time. And schools are closing. They're fine. Kids are fine when it's like a cold. But better to get vaccinated and not get quarantined. Now we're worried about the government. We're not worried about the virus. But you can't find that anywhere because CDC will not do its basic job. It will not. It's a complete bollocked up, complete messed up effort. Tony Fauci has messed it up. It's a complete and utter fiasco. You can't find that guidance. So I really don't. I can't tell her, and she's smart. She's looking too. How long after a COVID case, positive, tested, quarantine, does a child wait to get a vaccine? For adults, it's 90 days minimum. You don't get a vaccine for 90 days after you've had COVID. They don't give you advice on children. I assume they're different since they're getting half doses. But you wouldn't know it from the government because the government's got other things to do because the government's incompetent in every way, shape, and form, except the military when they use overwhelming force. Pfizer says its COVID-19 pill is likely to work against Omicron. This is great news. You get a symptom, you take the pill for 3 days, you'll be fine, you'll never get seriously sick. Has the government already approved it? No, of course not. They're going to take months to approve it. They're going to have advisory councils, and they're going to have weigh-ins from outside experts, and they're going to have to deliberate internally. And then they'll get around to saying yes after the fourth wave has killed hundreds of thousands of people. Way to go, FDA. The NFL has mandated boosters, but stopped short on testing. What the NFL should do, given that not only the Browns, but a half dozen other teams have had massive outbreaks and can't play there, they should cancel a week and see what happens. Because if we're going to go through the lunatic follies that we had last year, it's not the NFL. Play until March, but give people who paid money for a real NFL game their product. Story in the Wall Street Journal, which I'll come back to later. Millennials are supercharging the housing market. Why? They know that this 30-year money at 3%, some will get a little below 3, some will be above 3, is great. It's not going to last because the head lead story today, the lead story everywhere, is that producer product index in the United States went through the roof in November. It did. It went up to 9%. U.S. producer prices climbed sharply in November. Prices that suppliers are charging businesses and other customers leapt. Not a word you want when you're talking about inflation. Leapt in November. The Labor Department said Tuesday that its producer price index rose 9.6% in November. The most since records began in 2010. Now, I don't know why the producer's price index is not what you're paying at the store. It's what the people who put things in the stores are paying to the people who supply them. So the people buying everything to deliver you a product got hit by a 9.6% year-over-year monthly increase. Okay, you do the math. If it was 10%, that would mean, oh my goodness, it's going to be 12% next year, producer price inflation. That means next year it's going to be 15% for you. And I've been asking you all week, because Joe Manchin has to hold strong. He has to say no to Build Back Better because it's a killer. Next year we're going to worry about how to kill inflation. And by the way, the Fed is meeting today and they're going to crush interest rate. They're going to maybe raise it a half point, the prime. And stocks will tumble, and gold will go up because inflation is... I mean, but do you feel this, producers? You people who are buying things so you can resell part, you know, the final product. 1-800-520-1234. Best call of the year I've had yesterday was Brian in Cleveland, who runs an 8-truck trucking operation, and he walked through gas, tires, and oil. He can't cut his driver's pay to make up. Has to raise the cost of freight. Cost of freight goes up. The people who buy the freight, whatever's in those boxes and mark it and put it on the floor, they're passing it on to you. I would like to know how inflation is hitting you, especially if you're a small businessman or a woman. I would love to know at 1-800-520-1234. It's early. I know you're going to work, but you're probably going to work earlier because you got to get there earlier, and you're probably not hiring the extra staff because you can't bring them on at the new wage. And besides, nobody wants to work. I really do want to hear from you. The good news of the day is Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin got caught by Manu Raju going to the car yesterday with Raphael Warnock at his side and got asked about Build Back Better. Here's what he said.
No. Just in general, there's still a lot of talk.
What do you mean you wouldn't say that when the president's not moving closer towards you?
No, I don't think I'm asking anybody to move. I want people to understand where I am. And I think that's worth getting more of an understanding.
Which is where? Where are you?
Hey, you enjoyed this. Are you enjoying this?
Wait, hold on. I want to know how you would answer something like that.
I mean, are you anywhere to the point where you could vote yes on proceeding?
I got to check with my pastor here. I can't.
You should check with the pastor.
I can't get in negotiations like this right now.
Did you hear that? He said he's checking with the pastor.
My pastor.
That means we're getting ready to pass. But anyway.
Oh, there we go. I knew my pastor was wise.
Are you anywhere? I mean, they seem to think that they can change the rules and pass voting rights along straight party lines. Do you feel that way?
All my discussions have been with bipartisan Republicans, Democrats. Uh-huh. A rules change should be done to where we all have input in this rules change because we're going to live with them. Uh-huh. Because we're going to be in the minority sometime, then the majority back and forth.
Listen, let me translate Joe Manchin for you. He likes Raphael Warnock. He's no dummy. He's been elected since 1982 in West Virginia, right? Joe Manchin's been winning elections since 1982. So he's got Raphael Warnock walking with him. I got to ask my pastor. It's funny, funny, funny. It uses up 30 seconds of the walk. He doesn't commit to anything. He's not buying Build Back Better. He's not going to get a voting rights change through. Joe Manchin, God love you. Everyone pray for Joe. Now, I haven't done a rundown because inflation is on my mind. I'm going to do it very quickly. Fed prepares faster end of stimulus, making further rate increases possible. There's a great Wall Street Journal editorial, the price of the Fed's delay. It really comes down to misery for everyone. U.S. producer prices climbed sharply in November. Millennials are supercharging the housing market. Omicron spreading rapidly in U.S. could bring punishing wave as soon as January. That's in the Washington Post. Pfizer says its COVID-19 pill is likely to work against Omicron. That's in the Washington Post. Facing COVID spike, NFL mandates boosters but stops short on testing. I usually do this in the first segment. So if you're waking up at 6:30 and you're hearing this for the first time, you're saying, this is how the news should be done. You do it in the first segment. You can always listen to that at Highly Concentrated Hue, my first podcast of the morning, over at iTunes, Spotify, or the Salem Podcast Network. Boris Johnson proposed a draconian crackdown in Great Britain, and 99 of his Tory members said no. No mas. He needed across-the-aisle support from the crazy Labour Party to get this passed. People are sick of being told what to do. They know exactly what their risk tolerance level is. They know what the vaccines do. They know what the booster do. People like me, who do not want to get sick, I've got asthma, and I'm 65. I got the vaccines. I got my booster. I have not been sick. Knock on wood. I travel. I live my life. I do not want people to tell me what to do. I will get a fourth booster when it's available. A lot of people do not, will not, no matter what you do, get a booster. Employers can either keep you or not keep you. It's up to them. That's their right, unless there's a collective bargaining agreement. Governments, Boris Johnson is learning, have got to butt out. Governments have no place in this among free peoples. The fourth COVID shot is likely to be soon available in Israel. Wait for it. For the immunocompromised people like HIV sufferers, people with underlying diseases, the top doc in Israel says we're going to get you a fourth booster soon. Because we should be. I just read the Israeli news and you'll know what the good science is. Oh, this is a killer. Poor old Andrew Cuomo's had to give back the $5 million book deal that he got under false pretenses because he was using the executive staff and the governor's mansion. It was not long ago when Mr. Cuomo was at his peak. He should never have been at his peak. It was driven by a media narrative that was wrong. The 2015 nuclear deal is no longer sufficient for the reality of Iran in 2022, says the IAEA chief. They got to have inspectors or there won't be a deal. There's not going to be a deal. What there will be is an Israeli strike against Iran, except the United States doesn't want that. So, according to the Times of Israel, the United States is telling Israel we're not going to sell them the new tanker jets we agreed to sell them. Because Joe Biden, Team Biden, doesn't want Israel to hit Iran. John Kerry's against it. Tony Blinken's against it. Joe Biden's awake and he doesn't know what's going on. And the tankers can't refuel the jets. And so Israel is going to be vulnerable to the nuclear-armed Iran because they can't. And meanwhile, Team Biden has screwed it up with the United Arab Emirates. Now, this is little Sparta. UAE fought with us in Afghanistan. They fought with us in Iraq. They buy our weaponry. They started the Abraham Accords with Israel. They are our best Arab ally. They are a stalwart. They are little Sparta, as Jim Mattis calls them. They wanted to buy $23 billion worth of F-35s and drones from us. Team Biden has jerked them around, and now they say, no, ma, we don't want those planes. They're going to go buy French planes. That's not in the article, but that's what I guess. Way to go, Team Biden. There is nothing they can't screw up. Whatever Trump did, undo it. Trump held down inflation, bring back inflation. Trump bought peace to the Middle East, let's bring war to the Middle East. Trump put Iran on its knees, let's pull up Iran and get them nuclear weapons. It's like day follows night. He had a plan for Afghanistan, let's run away from Afghanistan. He contained China, let's fuzz it up so they're tempted. Richard Haass has an article in Foreign Affairs today that we've got to get rid of this strategic ambiguity that Biden has reintroduced, or China's going to take Taiwan. You want to tempt Putin into Ukraine, you act like Team Biden. It's a disaster. I told you. I warned you. Trump was rotten on Twitter. He made you mad. He made you angry. He made you pull your hair out. And now we've got Team Biden. and inflation at 9.6%. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. If you're buying gold, do it from Birch Gold. You can find Birch Gold at HughGold.com. I'm glad that they're sponsoring the podcast, but more importantly, I'm glad you're looking and making sure that your investment portfolio is diversified. Wealth is made in concentration and preserved in diversification, and you should diversify a part of your portfolio, 5 to 10% in gold. You can do that by rolling over a portion of your IRA or 401k into a gold and silver and other precious metals depository maintained by Birch Gold, or you can just buy gold and put it in your safety deposit box. Either way, do it from Birch Gold, which you can find at HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Now enjoy this podcast. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. I knew Gallagher was afraid of the Browns on Christmas Day, but I didn't think he'd go so far as to encourage the NFL to put a dozen Browns on the COVID list. Congressman Gallagher, you know, they'll be off the COVID list by Christmas Day. It's not going to save you.
Well, here we actually agree, Hugh, because the NFL's COVID protocols, as the great Aaron Rodgers very controversially illustrated in his own life, make absolutely no sense and are doing enormous damage to the product that we see on the field, as are the geriatric referees that we see every week wreaking havoc on the product on the field. I don't understand why we can't just fully automate the refereeing and install sensors throughout the stadium, on the ground, use people in the booth, and get rid of all this subjectivity that every single week seems to turn a few games here or there. So we actually are aligned on this, Hugh.
Pause for a moment. The COVID protocols. Yesterday, the Browns put eight people on. Baker Mayfield's going to get myrtleized because two tackles are out. Wyatt Teller is out. Two of his tight ends out of three are out. And Kareem Hunt is injured. Now, that's not a COVID injury. That's an actual football injury, and Conklin's a football injury. But I don't think these guys are sick, Mike. I think it's the breakthrough variants, which don't make you sick. What is wrong? This is I pay for these tickets. I buy these season tickets. This is not NFL football.
Well, just look at if you've been to a game this year. I've been to three Packers games this year. They're letting 85,000 fans go in the stadium with no masks next to each other, screaming, yelling, drinking massive quantities of beer. So clearly they're not worried about the health of the fans that they're profiting off of every single game. The contradiction is absurd. So it makes absolutely no sense. And Aaron Rodgers, when the controversy broke, put it out that he, because he was unvaccinated, and by the way, I'm vaccinated, so this isn't like an anti-vax thing before everyone freaks out. He has to sit there in his car every morning waiting for his test results to come back. Meanwhile, a vaccinated player takes the test and goes into the facility in the building and could still be positive while he's having breakfast and interacting with everybody. So there's all sorts of contradictions. It makes no sense, Hugh. But I just hope that we can enjoy Christmas Day by watching the Packers
Here's
destroy
the springboard.
Browns.
You've springboarded. Yesterday, 99 Tories deserted Boris Johnson in Great Britain in an attempt to reimpose strict COVID protocols. I believe that free peoples are now at this position. I'd like to know your comment on this. We know what the deal is. We know that COVID can kill people who are old and infirm, people my age and older who have an underlying condition. You and I agree, get vaccinated, get the second shot. I've got a booster because I'm 65 and I think everyone ought to get a booster. But then I will make my own decision. I'm going to fly to Minnesota tonight in order to moderate a debate among GOP gubernatorial hopefuls. And a free people can make up their own doggone minds. And NFL players who are not playing in contract years. You know, Baker's out there playing with one leg and one hand because he's in a contract year. And if they put him on the bench, it's going to cost him millions of dollars and it's going to tick off fans everywhere. What is wrong with America that we've lost this idea that adults, once we are informed, I was all for all the stuff last year, 15 days to slow the spread. This is now nuts. We've officially passed into nuts land.
Well, at some point along the way, we seem to accept this idea that it is the role of the federal government to remove all risk from our lives. And that is simply not the case. That is not how a free people can possibly live. And at the end of the day, as you said, Hugh, everybody has to step up, take charge of their own health, and make decisions that are best for themselves or their family. And I get it. When this first happened, when this started 2 years ago, my wife was pregnant with our first child. You combine that with the fact that there was so little we knew about the virus back then. We were very risk averse on the front end. We were very risk averse. Now we're at a point, my wife and I are both vaccinated, where our strategy is basically vax and relax. And we want to live our lives. We feel like we can make intelligent decisions for ourselves, for our baby daughter, for our family. And it's not the role of the government to tell us whether we can celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas with our loved ones, or whether we can go watch a Packers game on Christmas Day. By the way, the negotiations with my wife, Hugh, about being able to go watch the Browns on Christmas Day are not going very well. I regret to inform you. So
we have a problem.
I may have to prioritize family on December 20th.
In the Hewitt family, the tradition is gifts, movie, dinner. That's the tradition. That, unfortunately, will not work this year because the Browns will be beating the Packers at 4:30 Eastern. So now we have to do gifts, movie, Browns game, dinner. And that is not going over with the non-Browns fan, the fetching Mrs. Hewitt, who has raised up two Browns fans along with me. This is not flying. And so I don't know how you've negotiated the last years of marriage, because this is the first major split on a holiday we've had since we've been married 39 years ago.
Well, we only have 2 years compared to your 39. So this is probably the first major split we're confronting. So we're working through it. Luckily, I've adopted the position that my wife is always right, and that seems to be a wise strategy.
Mike Gallagher, I was going to give you the real answer, which is she's right. If you want to get to 39, whatever you say, dear, after you've made your best case two or three times.
This is the advice I'm getting from my friends who've been married for a long time. Hugh, if I could go back to your point about healthcare very quickly, I think the same thing applies more broadly to our entire healthcare system. We have a system that's evolved to a point where it largely treats illness as opposed to keeping people healthy. And so much of what we need to do is get upstream of that healthcare problem and incentivize people to take charge of their own health and to do preventive medicine and have a system that rewards hospitals and physicians for keeping people out of the healthcare system as opposed to just the expensive illness treatment system we have right now. But the fact is, America is not headed in that direction. The numbers of obesity are on the rise. And if anything, the last 2 years should have been a time to step back and reflect on all the things we can do to live healthier lives.
Mike, can I talk to you about this? I'm a perfect example. I was fit for 30 years, then I was fat for 30 years, and now I'm fit again. Because what else is there to do during a COVID except walk and trundle along? So I've lost 40 pounds. So the question becomes, what happens at 30? Kids happen at 30. You stop running. You'll find this out soon. There's no more time to do what you've been doing to stay in good shape. And I know you were previously the fastest man in Congress, and you're slowing down with age. And I think Cotton won this year, right? But in any event. Okay, two in a row? Is that two in a row?
That's four in a row, Hugh. So
four in a row? You should let civilians run in that. You should let commentators run, and then you'd be dust. What's your best marathon time?
It's very slow, Hugh.
Okay, 312.
Short distances.
Call me when you're at 312, and then we'll talk. In any event, when I was your age. But now you're going to get fat because you got to chase that toddler. How do you change that dynamic?
Well, I think one thing we can do is look at all the ways in which the federal government is subsidizing things that are bad for us, whether it's sugar or other things. I think there's some interesting things that have been done with Medicare Advantage, with the Silver Shoes program for older Americans and incentivizing them to get into the gym and get active. But I think it's mostly a cultural thing. It's why I'm actually very excited about the way in which the media landscape is changing, and you're seeing younger men in particular gravitating towards things things like Joe Rogan's podcast, Jocko Willink's podcast, a lot of things that talk about fitness, jiu-jitsu, getting out there, getting active, lifting weights. It's absolutely essential, particularly as we're spending more of our day glued to our screen. It's more important than ever for kids to get out there and get active and develop that healthy lifestyle.
5K is not really exercise. I want to point that out. Congressman, I got to talk to you about Build Back Better before we run out of time. Actually, I'm going to talk to you about the Chinese. Do you know who Wang Huning is, the chief theorist of the Chinese Communist Party?
I read that long-form piece last month about the impact of his academic work on Xi Jinping, so I'm loosely familiar with.
Okay, so the Palladium piece, I'm calling attention to it in a column which will be in the Post today. It seems to me that the search for core values explains a lot that he is after, explains a lot of what Xi is up to. How do we influence them to understand it can't be Leninist Marxist theory? That will collapse.
You're talking about how do we convince the members of the Chinese Communist Party or the Chinese people here?
The Chinese Communist Party.
Well, if it's the former, I think it's going to be very difficult to convince Xi and his small cadre of true believers, because I think we underestimate the extent to which they are committed Leninists. This is a point that Matt Pottinger, David Feith, and others have made repeatedly. And ultimately, they believe, having studied extensively the ways in which the Soviet Union went wrong and failed, they believe they've learned from those mistakes and perfected that Leninist model, and now are using technology to perfect totalitarianism. And so ultimately, I think our long-term strategy needs to involve on some level driving a wedge between the party, and granted the party has 80 million members, it has more members than Germany has citizens, but the core party and the Chinese people. Because the Chinese people, in many ways, I believe over the long term, are our allies. The Chinese people are the biggest victims of the repression of the party. And ultimately, I do think this model, if we hold firm, if we stay strong, if we merely defend the borders of the free world right now, and foremost among those are the borders of Taiwan. Ours is a defensive strategy. We're not trying to take territory or upend the status quo. We're trying to defend it. If we do that, I believe over the long term, their model will collapse. But it does count on us returning, and I say returning because I think we've abandoned it, to the model of freedom and responsibility, individual responsibility and subsidiarity here in America. We're actually moving in some ways towards a CCP light model where we want the federal government to do everything for us to end where we began, Hugh. If we go further down that path, we will actually defeat ourselves. We will become the very thing we are trying to defeat. And that's really what concerns me over the long term.
As well put. We'll come back to this because I do believe there's an opportunity to persuade Wang, Mr. Wang, that their road will not work. Last quick question. Have you heard from Ron Johnson yet whether he's running in 2022?
I have not. I suspect he will run, and I will be fully supportive of him running.
I know
and he's
going to
win, by
that.
The way. The Democrats are going to nominate a crazy progressive that is out of step with the common sense values that Wisconsinites hold dear. I can guarantee you that, Hugh.
I know that, but I'm hoping that the senator is just freezing the field so you can go there, go to the Senate. We can find a new member of the David Dreyer chair, which has been held by Tom Cotton, John Campbell, Mike Pompeo, now Mike Gallagher. The previous men held some rational views on football. Congressman Gallagher doesn't. Good to see you, Congressman. Talk to you next week. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.
Morning, Glory America. Bones Roar High. Kennedy Hewitt live inside the Beltway. I am planning to go to Minnesota after the show, but a listener just tweeted at me. High wind warning for Minnesota tonight. Potentially historic high wind event tonight. A very powerful low pressure system will track through later today and this evening. Damaging winds with gusts of up to 60 to 65 miles an hour are likely across all of the upper Midwest and upper Mississippi River Valley tonight. An additional line of severe thunderstorms will develop along fast-moving cold front early this evening. This line of thunderstorms could contain gusts in excess of 80 miles per hour, some embedded tornadoes. Tornado, not tomatoes. That would be bad to have an embedded tomato. I've got one of those producing the show. Dense fog advisory in effect until noon today. Well, I don't have to worry about that. High wind warning effect from 9 p.m. this evening to 6 a.m. Okay. Jim Garrity, should I go to Minnesota tonight?
Shouldn't the entire forecast you just laid out, Hugh, just be described as winter in Minnesota?
Well, that's what I think. I mean, don't they have salt trucks? Are there no orphans? Are, you know, what that orphanages? Are there no workhouses? That's Minnesota, right?
Yeah. Well, okay, hang on. Maybe it's a supply chain issue, or because of inflation, they're out there instead of with the usual big trucks. They're just out there with little salt shakers, doing it, you know, shaking with their hands bit by bit on the road as they go.
Well, like the mail, debates must go forward. Jim Garrity, what would you add? There are five candidates coming, two current state senators, one former state senator, one rich doctor, and one mayor of a city, and they all want to run against Tim Walz. What would you ask them?
There are probably a lot of easy, you know, layup questions on, you know, what happened in Minneapolis and abolishing the police and all that kind of stuff. I think one of the good ways of looking at governing is that anybody who's in the executive branch, whether it's a president or a governor, it's almost like you're a genie with one wish. You have one policy thing that you can get done. And everything else you can try, and if you're lucky, you get a couple of things done. But generally, you begin your term with enough political capital, with one top priority, and then over time, events pop up, natural disasters and scandals and resignations, and you know, just the course of events takes over and starts setting the agenda for you. So if you have one ability to get one piece of legislation through the legislature, what is that piece of legislation?
Okay, I have to work on it because Hugh's rules are in effect. I only do debates when Hugh's rules are in effect, which there are three. No questions longer than 30 seconds because it's not about the panel. No answer longer than 75 seconds or the bell begins to bing, bing, bing. And no right of reply because I watched Donald Trump, you know, use that like a machine. He was a virtuoso performer of the right of reply. So I've got to get that done, but that's a good thing. If you could get one thing done in the chaos of 4 years, what would it be? That's a good question. Now, Jim, I want you to go over what you covered at length yesterday, which is the texts, because the texts are not a scandal. I looked at those texts. I said, what did they want them to text? I didn't text Mark Meadows on January 6th, but I would have texted. What I put on Twitter was, this is outrageous. Stop it, Mr. President. Isn't that what they texted him?
Well, you might be thinking of one of my colleagues. I did not write about the text yesterday.
What did you write about yesterday?
I wrote, well, today's Morning Jolt is all about Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, World War C, in which he discussed.
No, you did a long text string yesterday about something that I thought was typically indispensable, Jim Garrity.
You know, it might have been one of my evil twins. Nonetheless, here's the thing. So I think my colleague, Michael Brendan Doherty, has a good piece in which he basically points out, you were getting messages from Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity saying, we need an address to the country. You need to put out a statement on this. You need, you know. And Michael Brendan Doherty says, this is a man who takes television very, very seriously, much more seriously than he takes his constitutional duties. I think in the entirety of the impeachment, this is what I wanted to know most, and that, in fact, didn't get answered, and that, in fact, the hearings of impeachment it kind of drops. They just wanted to get this done as quickly as possible. I want to know what Donald Trump was saying and doing as things on January 6th got worse. They were turned into, you know, from a protest to a conflict to a riot to the point where some numbskulls were smearing human feces on the walls of the U.S. Capitol building. That's what I'm curious. I want to know what Trump was saying and doing, because there were reports. Ben Sasse, I believe, was on your program, who said he'd heard from people in the White House saying Trump was elated about this, and that he was cheering about this.
There is no evidence of that yet. I did ask the president on this show, did he intend for them to storm the Capitol? And he said no. And I haven't seen anyone else ask him that.
Do you think Donald Trump, with his legendary reputation for honesty, was going to say, yes, I did?
No, I just know that you have to ask and answer. Here's the difference between me and a lot of people on January 6th. When Nancy Pelosi neutered the committee, she killed the interest of America in it.
because unless you have a protagonist and antagonist, no one will watch. And Jim Banks, with a good counsel and Jim Jordan at his right-hand side, that would have been must-see TV. Nobody cares, Jim, because it's a show trial.
I suppose. What they're going to find is what they're going to find. I think Republicans probably ended up cutting off their nose to spite their face by not participating in this, which means they don't have anybody on that, you know, panel to say.
I'm not going to blame them. I am going to blame Nancy Pelosi, who tried to derail a longstanding tradition, which is when we have a select committee, you pick your leaders, you pick your councils. I don't put the other team's players on the field.
Hugh, I'm no fan of Nancy Pelosi, but I have a really hard time seeing that in the grand history of January 6th is written, Nancy Pelosi will be seen as the villain.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that, Jim. Come on, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the January 6th committee is a failure and has no interest outside of the Beltway because they neutered it. They took it away from the standard operating, which has produced great committees, whether it's Benghazi or Iran-Contra, dating back 30 years. If you don't have antagonist and protagonist, it doesn't work as a matter of drama.
I do think the January 6th committee will come out with its reports, and unless it has something new that we have not heard yet, then it's probably going to come and go, much like the torture report that was issued during the late Obama years.
Yeah,
you can't. This already.
The dialectic is necessary to drama on the Hill. I know what you were typing about yesterday. I want to go back to it. James Bond. And I was applauding every tweet. Would you state your case for Bond as Bond?
Sure. This comes from a stray comment by Barbara Broccoli, who now controls the Bond franchise. She was doing an interview on a podcast, and it's entirely possible that this answer should not be taken to mean much of anything. They asked if the next actor who could, you know, playing James Bond. She said James Bond will remain a man, that they will not change to Jane Bond or something like that. But, then, you know, they asked, could the next James Bond be non-binary? And the person said, yeah, Barbara Rockley said, yes, it could be. You know, anything's possible. And, you know, there's some people who said, look, this is just kind of the, you know, sure, whatever type answer. Or maybe this is genuinely a direction they want to go in. And, I've been listening. One of the people I've been enjoying on YouTube is this extremely profane. So your listeners, if they go looking for him, you've been warned. Scottish movie critic named The Critical Drinker, who kind of does this persona of this wild, crazy, hard-drinking maniac. But he's actually a really good and, you know, does great analysis of character and plot and all that stuff. And he's right of center, or at least he's very frustrated with, you know, wokeism and the message as he characterized it in Hollywood. But what he really got into, and you see this, you know, big franchise after big franchise, Star Wars, Star Trek, The Terminator, how well-established characters, generally who are played by actors who are now getting up there in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, Mark Hamill, Linda Hamilton, Harrison Ford, you know, they're playing characters who are now well past their prime. But when these characters come back, these beloved characters that we grew up with and we, you know, pretended to be in our backyards and dressed up for Halloween and all that kind of stuff, that generally they come back as sad and bitter and that they've actually been defeated. And when we last saw them, they were at their great triumph. The movie credits roll. They come back 2 decades later, and the answer is actually no. Luke Skywalker is now a bitter old man. You know, you could not save the galaxy. He's now drinking green milk from some space alien breast. It's really horrible. You know, Jean-Luc Picard is sitting on his vineyard in France as a bitter old man, seen as past his prime. You know, and it's kind of this sad, you know, messaging, which is basically that it's not just like, oh, characters are aging. I think Logan, the last Wolverine movie, did this great, you know, kind of serious tackling of aging and the inevitability of mortality, all kinds of stuff like that. This is very much, we're tearing down these old characters to build up these new characters. And oh, by the way, these old characters, they were patriarchal, they were heteronormative, they were neocolonial, all this kind of stuff. And it's this really frustrating, you know, repeated action over and over again.
You know what you've done? I've got to go watch The Man Who Would Be King on the plane today. So I can get Michael Caine and Sean Connery in their prime, marching over the bridge when they've been to... Well, I won't give the spoiler. Have you watched it, Jim?
I might have been on basic cable years ago, so...
The Man Who Would Be King. That's whatever you just said, heteronormative, patriarchal, and grand. Thank you, my friend. Garrity the Indispensable. You can find him at NRO. You ought to get the Morning Jolt. You can sign up for it at National Review. And I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.